this is, but we are doing a series on practicing the presence of God, since that's where the Lord has been focusing us on. And I wanted to come to that, but in a little different way. Let me just ask a question. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand for everybody, because these all apply to me. How many of you have had a hard time understanding about practicing the presence of God? About how do I, because I'm an intercessor, how do I do my intercession if I'm busy abiding in the presence of God? So what does the abiding in the presence of God look like? Well, we've had many speakers, and it's all in the Word, abiding in the presence. You can meditate, you can pray, you can praise, you can worship, you can sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's many things we can do to abide in the presence. But I always said, well, I'd done all that as soon as I got saved. What's the difference? Because in me, there's a call to warfare. In me, there's a call to intercede for people, to intercede for myself, to intercede for my family, my church. How do I reconcile all of that together? And the Lord brought me to some really interesting things. I'd like to share that with you in case anybody else is running into a little bit of issues when they're trying to abide. It seems like all hell is breaking loose during that time. It seems like there's many trials and testings and all this other stuff and roadblocks and feeling where's God, where's his voice type of stuff when you're trying to abide. A lot of distractions. So I just want to bring a little clarity to that. And if I don't finish today, because I've got three scriptures only, but they're long, and there's a lot of talking about what's going on in these scriptures, so we can finish that on Wednesday. We're going to start with Ephesians 3. You know what? If you really are move in the prophetic at all, you understand that right now we're in a season of transition into a new realm. Holy Spirit is about to break through in unprecedented and unimaginable ways for us. We have not been here before. There is a power coming that the Lord says, are you ready for it? And our answer, of course, is only you know, Lord. I don't feel ready for it, but I don't even know what ready looks like, because I can't do anything in myself to make myself ready. Only you can do that. So then we start yielding. Well, then, Lord, I yield to you. You do what you're going to do in me to make me ready for your coming. And I don't even know what your coming is, because we haven't been this way before. But every prophet, I mean, from tsunamis to floods to rains to everything else, is saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Even Pastor Steve has said, we got to abide, we got to abide, we got to be ready for the coming, the downpour, the deluge of Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to bring. We need to stand on the foundation of love. And we sang that today, firm foundation of love. But it's more than words. What does a foundation of love really look like? I cannot love God unless his Spirit enables me to love him. I can't desire him unless I am gifted with the grace of desire for him. I can't even open my heart up to him unless he gives me the grace to even know my heart is shut up. There is a power coming to a people who are honest before the Lord. But what does honesty look like? My complaints, my railings, my confusion, my doubt, my unbelief? Or does it look like the truth of God and me just stuffing down those other things? Neither of those. God says, bring everything to me, but let me exchange it. Don't just put it at my feet and then walk away and tomorrow you bring the same stuff to my feet. I want to exchange things for you. See, the transformation that we're going through, it's happening right now. Even though we're saying, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. The transformation is going on right now. All the testings and trials and all the questions are happening within us because Holy Spirit is shaking our tree and letting anything that's not of Him fall off, and it hurts. That's not a pleasant thing to have your tree shaken, because your tree is everything in your soul realm, everything that matters to you. You know, I've heard it said, you shouldn't care if bad things happen to you. You shouldn't care if all this stuff in the natural isn't lining up. But you do. Your soul cares. So how do I come to a place where I can honestly say, I care about this, and I know you care about this, but I'm focusing on something else because you've given me the grace to focus on something else rather than that. There's a revelation of grace securely in my heart that's coming, that we have heard about grace, we have heard about faith, we have heard about Holy Spirit, but we have not experienced yet. Let's look at Ephesians 3. This is a divine mystery. And basically, I have to be in order to do. And I have or have in order to give. And basically what I'm saying is it's got to be formed in here before it can be formed out here. And what each of us are concerned with right now or focusing on right now is allowing Holy Spirit to transform us in here before we start doing it out here. But we always do it the other way around. We want to do it out here before it happens in here, because we're really good at play acting church, or at least I am. I'm really good at play acting what the scripture says or what the preacher says, or what in prayer we get. I can then go for a little bit with that head knowledge, with that affirmation of whatever's going on, because that's what's going on. But yet God says, no, I want to do a deep work in you. But the deep work isn't a new thing. That came way back. That's not new. It's just new for you. It's like building your house on sandy ground. We just have to move the house. The house is okay, but it's built on the wrong foundation. Okay, on verse 3. Or I'm sorry, 1. Beloved friends. And I'm using a different translation, so if my words are a little different than this, that's why. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now his prisoner for the sake of all of you who are not Jews, so that you will hear the gospel that God has entrusted to me to share with you. For this wonderful mystery, which I briefly described, was given to me by divine revelation, so that whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. Going on to 5. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Here is the secret in verse 6. That's what it says. Here is the secret. The gospel of grace has made you non-Jewish believers into co-heirs of his promise through your union. So how do we get it? Through union, right? Through oneness, to becoming one with him. And you have now become members of his body, one with the anointed one. That is a profound mystery right there, that if we glass over it, we'll be play acting church all our lives. There is a profound mystery of it is no longer me, Becky Ferris. It is now I am one with the anointed one and all his anointing. He is the head, I am his body. I am not separated from him. He is not with me, although he is, because he's everywhere. He is in me, and I've got to get that revelation that Christ in me, the hope of glory, resides in me and through me and around me, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and I need to get to that place, but I cannot get to that place by reading it, by understanding it, by dissecting it, for looking up. This is the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation has really good footnotes to it. You can learn a lot. You can preach from there if you want. But we want the revelation from Holy Spirit. There is a power in the Holy Spirit that can only come by me saying, Holy Spirit, show me what this looks like. Teach me your ways. Infuse into me the Holy Spirit and his power. Infuse into me that oneness. Cause me to be experientially the body of the Lord God Almighty who sits on the throne. That's an awesome, and in the old days would have been blasphemy. But now, because of Jesus and where we are, on which side of the cross we are in, it is not blasphemy, it is our right. It is not only our right, it's our destiny, it's our calling, and it's what Jesus Christ's Spirit is here to ensure that we become the bride of Christ fitted for the King. I cannot be a pauper and in false pride and saying, I don't deserve it, I'm just a worm, I'm whatever, and then expect to be attached to the head of all creation. The Word himself, the King of glory. I must find out from Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, it's your job to get me to my destiny. How are you going to do that? And how can I cooperate with you? How can I stop fighting you by playing church? How can I stop resisting you by saying, I've got this one. I don't want to go the way of testing and trials. I want to go the way of prosperity and greatness and title and everything else that we go after. You know, I'm 68 years old. I'm going to be 69 in October. I'm in the retirement phase of my life. But in spiritual language of who I really am, I am stronger in the Lord now than I've ever been. I am younger in Christ than ever before. And yet, I am maturing daily. I see things not in you, I see things in me, and say, Holy Spirit, we need to address this. This isn't right in my life. Or that's not right, or whatever it is. This is my blocking me. Let's go on, because I really do want to. We really do want to do this. It's an experiential union rather than a positional one. I am made to be the body of Christ when I say yes to Jesus. Doesn't mean I'm experiencing it. Doesn't mean I live in Christ Jesus. It means I've got the hat on that says in Christ. I've got the badge that says I'm in Christ. But am I walking in the realm of being in Christ Jesus? If you read the word, everywhere in Christ, that's where the power is. That's where the reigning over the natural realm is. That's where the walking on water, the raising of the dead are. I gotta be in Christ Jesus, but only Holy Spirit can cause me to be experiential in that quest. 7. I have been made a messenger. Another word for messenger is martyr. I have been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me, even though I am the least significant of all his holy believers. This grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power came upon me. When was it imparted? When the manifestation of the Holy Spirit power came upon him. That's really interesting. Let me ask you a question. Has the manifestation of the power of Holy Spirit, now I'm not talking about in you because he comes in you when you're saved, but has he come upon you for the power to be evidently manifested in your life in every situation you walk in? It doesn't mean you'll have a title, that all will be well, that all will go well. Because if you read the apostles' testimonies of their life, none of them went what we would consider well. They were martyred. They were persecuted. They were jailed. They were misunderstood, rejected. Everything Jesus was, they suffered as well. So what does this power do if it's not to bring me happy and make me important and give me a title and a ministry and a whatever else we deem as important and worthy of what we think Holy Spirit should give us? If I'm not rich, then it must mean Holy Spirit's not moving in my life. If I'm not healed or whatever it is, there is a more powerful destiny for us than just governing the natural realm. But we should be governing the natural realm. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And there is power in our voice, in our word, just as it was with Jesus. Let's get down to Paul's prayer. How many times have we prayed this Ephesians prayer over everybody? I know I've prayed it a million times over my kids, my husband, you guys, the church, everybody. I've prayed this over and over. But let's look at what it says. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil, within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Is that the basis for your prayers? Or are your prayers the basis for your prayers coming from a place of fear, intimidation, or wanting the natural realm to change? See in here, saying, unveil me, God. Unveil me so that I can see your unlimited riches in glory. So that I can have and experience your favor until supernatural, not natural, supernatural, God, awe-inspiring, power, strength, floods. Where? The outside? To fix things out here? No, the inside, to fix things in here, to line them up so that I can walk in Christ Jesus, so that I can move according to his power and his election, so that I can be obedient to the voice of God without having to be grumbling about it, but ever looking, where's my direction, Lord? And you go there and you see the supernatural power of God. In here, inside first, before it's out there. In here, before you raise the dead. In here, before you cast out demons and they flee. In here, because when I stand before God, he's not going to say, wow, you cast out 20 million demons. You raised 10 people up from the dead. You did all these wonderful, great exploits. No, he's going to say, depart from me. I didn't know you in here. Or, welcome, I knew you. You knew me. It's not that we have to live a life that's deprived of anything. Quite the contrary. We get to live a supernatural life that is above and beyond what this up here, our head, can fathom or imagine. There is a power that has our name on it. God gave me a little sentence. He said, my cross bears your sin, but my crown bears your name. Can you imagine that? My name is not only on his lips, but it's on his throne, it's on his crown, it's on his scepter, it's on his robe. I am one with Jesus Christ. I am not Jesus, but I am one with him. We are one, and so are you with him. Then it says in 18 or 17, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. The resting place of his love. We need to find out, what is this love, Lord? What is this love? It's not the Valentine love. It's not the be nice to me love. It's not the to not offend me love. There's a deeper place. He is love. This is my firm foundation. If I do great exploits, if I do signs, miracles, wonders, if I do all these things, They're great, they're wonderful, and everybody will appreciate. And when you come up here to pray for people, you'll have a line going out the door because you can give them something. But what's that all about? What's that all about? If in here we're empty, if in here we're not connected in union with him. See, that's what he's bringing. He's bringing a revelation of union like we have never experienced before. We may have heard it, but unless you experience it, you have not received it and are not walking in it. And God wants to bring us into that place. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. This is the abiding presence of the King inside of us. This is the place of I abide in them, they abide in me. We are one. There is something you cannot put in words. Somebody can get up here and preach till they're blue in the face, year after year. And unless Holy Spirit endues you with power and comes upon you and teaches you himself, you'll never get it. So my quest is get in God's face. Cry out to him. I need what you want to give me. And whatever is in me that shut up to it because I have eaten too much of religion, not from any man, but from my own experience, then I'll never get it. I need all this stuff broken off of me, Lord. I need a Holy Ghost bomb to hit me so that I open up and say, yes, Lord, and I get it. How long did it take the apostles to get it? Let's go over to Acts 1. Pastor Brian, I'm not good at clocks. Will you let me know when it's like 10 minutes or 5 minutes before I have to end? Okay, go like that. If I don't see him, everybody, then when you see him, do that to me, okay? Because we have next Wednesday, we can finish up. That was scripture number one. Now let's go to scripture number two, Acts 1, 2. Now, and this was written to a certain guy, but his name means the beloved of God, the loved one. So basically, he's talking to all of us, right? Paul's talking to everybody because we're all loved, right? So this is our scripture. Just before he ascended into heaven, he left instructions for the apostles he had chosen by the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus choose the apostle? Apostles, wait a minute. How did the Son of God, how did the one who came from the throne of heaven, how did the voice of the Father, how did the Word of God, how did the glorious one who was in all of creation, how did he choose the apostles? By the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit, if Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to make decisions, how much more do we? Mark of a true apostle. What is the mark of a true apostle? So, since we're talking of apostles. According to 2 Corinthians 12:12, an apostle is a sent one. But the things that distinguish a true apostle were performed among you with great perseverance. Supernatural signs, startling wonders, and awesome miracles. These are the signs of an apostle, right? Chosen one, a sent out one. How do you get there? Does that mean if somebody is not moving in this, they're not an apostle? No, they just haven't come to the fullness of it yet. They haven't started venturing out into what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be out there, not in here. They're supposed to be doing great exploits, kind of like what Pastor Steve is doing right now. He'd cringe if he heard me say that, but I'll say it anyway. He's in another nation. He's doing great exploits. He is bringing a live word, laying hands on people, and seeing them recover. It's a sign of an apostle. So when he goes out, don't think it's strange or how come Pastor Steve's not here. No, come in, Do what you're doing right now. Say, let me feed. Let me see. Because I need to pray for the apostle that's out there. And I need to build myself up in here. So that I can be about my Father's business as well. Because he's got something for each one of us. But ministry comes after this. Ministry comes later. Verse 3. After the suffering of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to these same apostles over a 40-day period. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. So Jesus already died on the cross. Now he's back with the apostles, freaking them out for 40 days and causing them to totally not understand what in the world is going on. Is he back now in natural form for good? Is he going to take care of the government and the kingdom that they thought he should take care of, the earthly one? Their minds are racing just like ours do all the time. This must mean this because I can comprehend this. I can put it in my little box. So let's talk about what it said. For 40 days, Acts 1:3, the number 40 is significant in the Bible. And let's look at a couple of ways of what happened. And then I want to point something out to you. What do all these things have in common? What's their common denominator? I'm going to read them. What's the common denominator? You think about it. One, Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Two, the flood during Noah's time. It rained day and night for 40 days. Moses met with God for 40 days on Mount Sinai. Israel wandered for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. Jesus spent 40 days appearing to his disciples to teach them that a day of completeness and transformation had arrived. And it took the apostles 40 days to comprehend that Jesus' kingdom was spiritual and not political. What do they all have in common? They're all places of wait. They're all places of stop. They're all places of uncomfortableness, of loneliness, of sorrow, of pain, of denying self, of dying to self. They're all places where it sounds like, are we in that place right now of waiting? If we can say, I'm not hearing God clearly right now. Ever since I've been doing this abiding thing, I have more questions than I have answers. All hell is breaking loose all around me. What do I do? I'm not getting the answer fixed the way I think it should be fixed. Does that mean God is ignoring you and doesn't like you and doesn't care? No, look at all of these things. He cares, but he's working a greater miracle inside of each one of us in the wait. Because we're waiting for a promise and we're waiting for the promised Holy Spirit because he's the blaster. He's the one that breaks things open that cannot be broken by the voice of man alone. During these encounters, he taught them the truth of God's kingdom realm. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about. The gift of the Father has promised. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptism, as you know, means to be submerged, to be overwhelmed, to be, I cannot breathe anymore because I'm underwater. I'm in an unnatural place. All my limitations have come up to the forefront. I am panicking in here because the power is so strong. I'll tell you, no demon in hell has that kind of awe. No angel has that kind of awe. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in the presence of angels, they're all different ranks. Some of them you will never know they're an angel because they come as men and you'll entertain them unaware, the Bible says. Others will bring such terror with them. And why is that? It's because they've been in the glory of God. They've been in the presence of Almighty God. We are meant to carry that awe. We are meant to govern. We are meant to be in the presence of the almighty glory of God and be carriers and wearers of that glory. We don't give it to an angel. The angels are looking to us. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to arise and to know who they are in Christ and to come into alignment with the head and then to rule and reign. We have a destiny of ruling and reigning as the bride of Christ. But right now, we have our destiny for right now is to be the body of Christ on earth as it is in heaven. What did he mean by the Holy Spirit? The apostles had no grid. They didn't know this. They had never been this way before. All of this was new. They didn't have a Passion translation. They didn't have a New King James translation. They didn't have an expounded. They didn't have concordances. They didn't have any of it. They had a man that they knew as Jesus, who little by little in the walking with him was giving mental assent to him. Oh yeah, you're the Son of God. Oh yeah, you're the one I'm following. If I don't go with you, where am I going to go? I guarantee you, once the Holy Spirit came upon him, there was no more, if I don't go with you, where am I going to go? There was no other option. The Spirit of God came upon them, and all of a sudden they were endued with a boldness and a power and an anointing that grabbed hold of the love foundation that they had already gained, and now they were being thrust out. See, ministry is not having a microphone. It is not working with kids. It's not doing all this stuff. Ministry in the Bible is go out there and win the lost. And you do that by showing them the power of God. It's not about a notch on my belt. I won 5 people to the Lord today. Somebody needs to clap for me. No, it's about my God. This is what he did. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He laid hands on the sick. And I got to see them be healed, brought back to life, be born again, come in from darkness to light, from death to life. I got to witness it. And you said, no, but you were the one doing it. No way. He was the one doing it. There is a union participation that we are doing with God where we say, just like if you move your arm up and down, what's moving that arm up and down? You can say, well, my muscles, my joints, yes, but where does it originate from? The head, right? It originates from the head. So if everything originates from the head, then who's in charge? Right? Is my muscle in charge? Does my muscle tell everything else what to do? Is my joint? Is my marrow? No, it is the head that tells my body what to do. And the body then does it most of the time just automatically. If they hadn't made the internal shift yet, they hadn't made the internal shift. They're still wanting, according to verse 6, every time that they were gathered together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is it the time now for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? See, their mind was still on what they could see. So would ours have been, because so is ours today. And this is where the shift comes. They could not shift it. Jesus told them and told them and told them, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, it couldn't break in. You know this thing about renew your mind. Gosh, I want to renew my mind so many times on so many things, and then I find myself in the old mindset again. Not demonic, not really bad, just a little hair off. Just a little bit. But that little bit, once you start going just a hair off, you end up over here when it should be over here. Gosh, we are so in need of Holy Spirit right now. We are so crying out for him. See, my intercession has now turned into that Ephesians prayer, but in a whole different realm. Start with me, Lord.
Break into my heart. Take the stoniness, my arrogance, my pride, all the stuff that is blocking you, that says, I've got this, Jesus. I've got this. Because if I do it your way, it's going to hurt. And I don't have a clear understanding of where you're going. So I'm going to do it this way, because you said go out and feed the sick. I'm going to gather all this food and stuff and go feed the sick, when the Lord may not have been talking about that or that way at all. Gosh, we're in a place of stripping that's the most beautiful thing in the world, but it feels horrible to our flesh, to our souls. Stripping is not easy. Stripping is really hard. But if we are honest before the Lord, we'll stop pointing a finger and saying, they're not praying the way I think they should pray. They're not worshiping the way I think. I'm singing this song, but they want to sing that song. Or I'm doing this, but they. All that is an insecurity of not knowing who we are in Christ and not knowing each other as in Christ Jesus. I can point out y'all's problems, just like you can point out all my problems. But how much harder it is to point out, Lord, I've got some issues. Not in a degrading way. Not in a way that says I'm a worm. But in a way that says, I'm not made perfected in Christ yet. I am not perfected in love. And I need that perfection in order to go on to where you want me to go. And I cannot do it, but by the Spirit of God, you can do it. I like that. It's kind of like rain. Do you hear that, or is it just me? That's kind of neat, huh? It's like God saying, yeah, let me rain on that. He likes it. Amen. Okay. Now, it says, he answered the Father. The Father is the one who sets the fixed dates and the times of our fulfillment. Dang. It's the Father who does that. I want it to be right now, and I want it suddenly. You know, when God is fixing you, stripping you, pointing things out, wanting to tweak you, whatever, you want it now. Just take the axe and let's go. Don't take the Band-Aid off slowly, Lord. But he does that because of his great love for us. He's not out to destroy us. He loves us more by doing that for us than by giving us the stuff we're asking him for. In the natural, in our own lusts or our own whatever, our own desires that are not his desires. He will give you the desires of his heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. But that's when your heart is his heart. That's when he has put that desire in you, because he knows what's good for us. Just like you know what's good for your 4-year-old or your 5-year-old. You know better than what they know. And that's why we have to come to him like a little child. Okay. You are not permitted to know the timing of all that he has prepared by his own authority. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. In other words, you're going to be seized with this power. You're going to be overtaken. It'll come on you like a torrential flood that just knocks you over and just comes upon you and baptizes you, submerges you, overwhelms you, causes you not to be able to breathe in the natural anymore, all the stuff we've been breathing in, and it'll cause you to breathe the air of heaven. And you'll, for the first time, be coming into a place of the abiding presence of the King of Glory. Not the abiding presence of the little God that I've made him to be, the one that I strive to get into his presence, just to feel the tingly. If I feel the tingly, then okay, I'm in his presence and all is well. You won't be looking for tinglies when the power of Holy Spirit has overwhelmed you and overtaken you. It is coming. He is coming, and he will do a work in us. Right now, cooperate with the Spirit of life. Cooperate with his heartbeat. Cooperate with opening yourself up, or even saying, I can't open myself up, but you can open me up. I am a wretched fool. I am whatever Peter said he was, whatever Paul said he was. I am the worst of the worst. I am whatever. but God, and but God in me, but I am a joint heir, but you have a destiny for me, a promise that came to the apostles that is now destined to hit me personally on the inside and transform me, that the presence of God, I will be a carrier of it, a wearer of it, and an imparter of it. I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I want to do all the things the Bible tells me to do, but I want to do them from the right place to where I bring him glory and honor, to where I say, it is not me, it is him, and I mean it. And I look myself in the mirror and I say, you're a good piece of the body, a good part, body part. The King has used you today. Now give him praise and glory and honor that's due him from a real place, not a religious place that we do in here, but a real me and you, God, place. Not to where I say, I'm nothing, you're everything. No, God doesn't see us that way. He sees us as his beloved bride, his beautiful one, his glorious one. The one he has raised up, the one who said, yes, he came in. We are his temple. We are in Christ. He's in us. I in him and him in me. He is the hope of glory. And my abiding with him is more than saying a prayer, singing a song, opening the word up, doing all the stuff that I know to do. If it doesn't originate with God, it won't go back up as glory to God. I want, when I open that word up, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me, talk to me. I had so many times, just in these little three little scriptures, I only got to two of them. Because I kept saying, what are you saying? How come I'm not experiencing this? How come they got something I didn't get? And God saying, they haven't gotten anything you're not getting. Invite me in. Come up to the room. Wait. In this testing, wait. 40 days, Lord? He says, what's that to you? I know the times and seasons. I govern when, the timetable. The three P's resulting from witnessing the ascension that the apostles had, you know what they are? In Mark's gospel, they preached. That's what they did. After the ascension. In Luke's gospel, after Jesus' ascension, they praised. They praise you, God. But here in Acts, they prayed. That's what they were told to do. What are we told to do? We are told, seek after me with your whole heart and all of your understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. Jesus is the path. He's the door. He himself is the truth, the way, and the life. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And the Lord is saying, if you have need of power to wait, ask of me, and I will give you freely. Because you will see the glory of God and the manifestation of the power of Spirit upon the love that is your foundation, that is in that you are standing on, and you'll see yourself being transformed and look around you. These are all body parts too, the same one body. So if I don't like you, I don't like me. And if I fault find on you, I'm fault finding on me. God, this love is bigger than what we know. I can't love you apart from the love of God. I can't even love myself apart from the love of God. And I can't love God apart from the love of God. We are totally dependent on him and him alone, even in this abiding place. So I thank you, Father God. I'm going to end here. We're not done with Acts 1. But we got halfway done, so that's good. So we'll do Acts 1 and Acts 2 on Wednesday. I invite you to come. And I'm believing that if the Lord wills, we'll lay hands on people. Father, I thank you for everything you want to do and everything you want to say and your timing. We're in such a hurry, Lord God. We're in such a hurry for this revival or awakening or whatever it is that people are calling it. Basically, we want you, God. We don't want to wait. We don't want to delay. We don't want any of the stuff we're experiencing right now. But yet, Lord God, we're saying not our way, but your way. Not our flesh, Father, but listen to our heart. Listen to our spirit, man. And let the power of God overwhelm us and all of our family members and everybody in the church, God. Father, start with us. Transform us into this union with who you are and who we are in you. That we would operate from a place of in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Bless these, Father God. Bless their heart. Bless their hearing. And bless the rest of the day for them in Jesus' name. Amen.